Good morning and welcome to EAG, Englewood Assembly of God Church Online. I'm Ron Dyson, visitor and outreach minister, along with my wife Carolyn of the church. Pastor Blood is out of town this week and asked me to cover for him, so we trust that God will bless you today as we study from the Word of God. I would like to open briefly with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit would touch you, for it's our prayer today. That the Spirit of God will touch you in a very, very special way. If you're lost and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's my prayer that the Spirit of God will touch you today and you will ask Him to come into your heart. If you're struggling in your walk with Christ, may God's Spirit lift you up and encourage you in the Word of God. Father, we lift those up today that are viewing our telecast. We ask God that you bless them in a special way. That you allow the Word of God to penetrate their heart, my heart, and everyone that hears it. For you are truly our God. We can put our trust in you. You are a God that never fails. We thank you for that. For it's in Christ's name we ask today. Amen. Let's get right into the Word of God today. I want to talk about the Christian race. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it reads this way from the NIV version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now we know, as we study from the Word of God, chapter 11 of Hebrews gives us the hall of faith. Just a brief list of what went on in chapter 11 for a refresher course. Abel's sacrifice was by faith. Enoch walked by faith and was taken without death. Noah by faith, he built the ark. Abraham, by faith, obeyed and received his inheritance. Sarah, by faith, received strength to conceive. Moses, by faith, was saved by his parents being hid for 3 months. Later, by faith, Moses refused Pharaoh's daughter and chose his lineage with the children of Israel. Later, by faith, he forsook Egypt, kept the Passover, and passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the unnamed witnesses laid down their lives for God. People that we don't have their names. And let me read that to you, because you and I, many times, we think our trials that we're going through are very tough. And they are. We never minimize our own personal trials, because the enemy is constantly attacking us, trying to challenge our faith in Jesus Christ. But listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 39, what some of these Hall of Famers that were never named went through. They said some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. You see, everybody goes through difficult times. We all have our trials. We all have our tribulations. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So you see, now it's our turn. As believers, as those that have accepted Christ, to believe in him and have faith to win the race we are in today. The baton has been passed on us today, not only by those in Hebrews, but those that we have known in our everyday life, people that we loved and cherished, and we know of their faith and their sacrifices. I am convinced today that we need a shot of what I would call spiritual adrenaline. Today, a renewing of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. For the Bible tells us in Timothy's writing that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So you see, it's up to us to continue the race, to finish the course. Because you see, There are so many snares and pits and dangers that we will reface regardless of our age or length of time we have been in the race. As the picture on the screen there beside me shows, we see a child getting his fish and the bear is chasing him. We never know when something in our life is going to attack us. Our process, our joy is going to be attacked. We can be building so strongly in our relationship with God. We can seal his presence, and then out of nowhere, the enemy comes in like a flood. But you know what? When he does that, God raises a standard against him. Because I am convinced, not only am I convinced scripturally, but I know personally that we will be attacked. We will be cursed at, ridiculed, and have all types of darts thrown at us, but we must be faithful in our walk with Jesus Christ. For you see, they come at us in many ways. So you and I need to be ready. We need to be steadfast. We need to be unmovable. Because I am convinced, again, through the Word of God and by my own relationship with Jesus Christ, that He will sustain us in our time of need. I'd like to refer to the psalmist in Psalms 42, verse 11. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You see, David was known as a man after God's own heart. But in this particular time, we see him weary. He was down internally. If we may use the word, he was depressed. Many times depression comes in us like a flood and we wonder what is going on. But we have to reach down within us by faith and believe that God's Spirit is going to bring us through every trial that we go through. I heard an evangelist one time preach on the word joy. And he said, sometime we just have to shout, "Joy, come forth." You see, the enemy wants to press us down. But the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And David said to his soul, "Hope thou in God." I don't have time to go into what he meant by cast and the sheep that lays down on the ground. But I want you to know that God picks us up. That God is real and genuine in our lives. And David said, "Though I'm down, though my soul is discouraged, though I am weary, I shall yet praise him." Why? Because he is the health of my countenance, and he is my God. If you're down today, I want you to reach down by faith in the spiritual realm of God and ask God to resurrect the joy of the Lord into your heart and into your life. You see, David was down and discouraged, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. These great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, they are to inspire us in our race. You see, the scene is a great coliseum filled with capacity with spectators. The Bible said, a great cloud of witnesses. The race is about to begin. People are watching. People are looking at us and seeing how you and I are going to handle our trials. We let so many things that sometimes in our life, we let it defeat us. We let it discourage us. But you know, God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in the time of trouble, because we are in the arena of faith. Jump into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, "For it seems to me that God has displayed us apostles at the end of the procession, excuse me, like prisoners appointed for death. We have become a spectacle to the whole world, to angels as well as to men." I like what the Benson commentary says about this particular verse of scripture, and I'd like to read it by quote to you in his comments. It brings to us a vivid picture of what Paul most likely is talking about. He said, "For God hath set us the apostles and all faithful ministers last as it were appointed to death." He alludes to the Roman theatrical spectacles in which those persons were brought forth on the stage, either to fight with each other or with wild beasts, who were devoted to death, so that if they escaped one day, they were brought out again and again till they were killed. For from a passage of Seneca's epistles, who was a first century philosopher, quoted by a man named Whitby, it appears that in the morning, these criminals excuse me, to who they gave a chance of escaping with their lives, fought with the wild beast armed. But in the afternoon, the gladiators fought naked, and he who escaped was only reserved for slaughter to another day. So they might well be called persons appointed to death. By comparing the apostles to these devoted persons, Paul hath given us a strong and affecting picture of the dangers which the apostles encountered in the course of their ministry, dangers which at length proved fatal to most of them. Their labors and sufferings were greater than those of the ancient prophets. He said, a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. By angels to whom the apostles were made a spectacle, some understand the evil angels, who may be supposed to delight in the blood of the martyrs. Others understand the good angels, to whom the faith and constancy of the apostles gave great joy. Probably both were intended, for it must have animated the apostles in combating their persecutors to think that they were disappointing the malice of evil spirits while they were making the angels in heaven and good men on earth happy by the faith and patience and fortitude which they were exhorting so in a noble cause. End of quote. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are to get rid of all excess weight and clinging entanglements and run and keep on running, enduring to the end. Now I'm convinced that we get into this spiritual race that Paul is talking about here or Luke is talking about in Hebrews and Paul in the Corinthians by being convicted of our sins. When we confess and we repent of our sins. You see, I am persuaded to believe that feeling bad about our sins is not repentance. Confessing that we have sinned by itself is not repentance. All of this is necessary. But repentance is when we do like the publican did in the book of in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, when he smote his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Repentance changes our lives. We recognize we're lost. New Year's resolutions doesn't save us. We must be born again through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we ask him, if we ask him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a loving God. I don't know where you're at today in your walk with him in this race that you're running. Maybe you have a spiritual cramp. Maybe something is battling you. Maybe someone on the sidelines is ridiculing you. Maybe somebody said something that really put you down. But I want you to know God is there. The prophet said that his eye is not too short. His eye is not too dim. His arm is not too short, nor is his ear too heavy that he cannot hear us, see us, and reach us. Wherever we are, he is a God that cares. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this to us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, after repentance, we come into him. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You see, Jesus told Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, you must be born again. For the Bible teaches us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Save the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to lay aside every weight. The Greek means to take it off, strip off, and to remove like that of an athlete who discards things that will slow them down. There is conditioning that goes. As the athlete must condition, we see them in the race. We see them running. We see them in the victory circle. But we don't see all the preparation that they've done, all the training they've had to do, the jogging, the running, the studying, and just getting their body in condition. You and I can do that in our spiritual race through prayer and through the study of the Word of God. We must study God's Word, the Bible tells us, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So you see, it's our responsibility. He said, you do it. You know, a lot of times we pray with our problems, our weights, perhaps even sin, and we ask God to help us, and we just kind of leave it there. And God will help us. But he expects us to do a little bit as well. Our responsibility, we must bring our body, Paul told us in his writings, into subjection under the Spirit of God. Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. There's a personal thing that you and I, as walkers in this faith, as believers of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we must apply to our own life. You see the picture painted that about the author, and it shows us this. You see, the crowd, the heroes of Hebrews of 11 have participated in the race. They have run and finished the race themselves, enduring to the end and winning. You see, the Bible tells us there in our text that a great cloud of witnesses surrounds and it envelops us. Witnesses who believed God and stood fast for God and stood fast against all kinds of trials and temptations and opposition. It was their great faith and endurance that should stir us and inspire us to believe and to endure in our faith. Because it's written there to give us examples of how that God brings us through. I had someone ask me, why does this happen? Why does this take place? And there are no absolute answers. I wish ministers of the gospel, believers of the gospels, Christians, laymen, ministry alike, had a word that could just heal all the things that go on. But I'm always reminded in many times in my life, when I ask these questions, I realize, you know, the church, they prayed for Peter when he was imprisoned and he got delivered. What a miracle. The gates flung open on their own. But you know, James was a believer of the same Christ. He was part of the same church. Some of the same people were praying for him and he lost his head. We don't understand everything that comes to us in our life, but we've got to run the race with patience. We've got to keep the faith and keep our eyes focused on Christ, which brings us to verse 2 of our text. The writer of Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we run our race, remember that Jesus formerly participated, and he participated for the joy of winning. He disciplined himself, endured to the point of death, and he received his reward. He is the supreme example of the Christian race. Listen, I love the Assembly of God. I love my denomination. I've got my preachers that are my favorites, and our founders of our denominations are wonderful people, but that's not who we focus our eyes on. Our eyes must be focused on Jesus Christ. Because you see, I've learned by personal experience again, I've even let people down, but people let us down. But Jesus never does. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, believers who have trusted God and endured in their faith are great examples for us. And we see them all around us in today's world. But they're just great examples. They're people with flaws, just like you and I. And never forget, ministry, Sunday school teacher, husband, wife, mother, father, child, they're all human. They're going to make mistakes. Jesus never did. And he is there to reach out and to pick us up and to keep us going for him. And so there is one supreme example of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to look at him. We got to keep our eyes focused on him. You see, the word looking means to fix, to set your course, to see who you're following, because I'll let you down. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, they will let you down. Your ministers will let you down at times, but Jesus never fails. We're all human. We're all going to make mistakes, but Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, he is the very author and finisher of our faith. He authored, he began, he originated, he created, he gave birth to the Christian race. The word finisher here in our text means that he perfected it. He completed it. He consummated the race. He ran the race to the finish. You see, it's not And I've heard it said many times, and I'm sure you have as well. Our Christian walk is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're going to pull up lame somewhere. Got to get fixed. We go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose name is Jesus Christ. You see, Christ was spit upon. He was mocked. His beard was plucked out, crown of thorns placed on his brow. He was crucified, and he physically died. You see, the great news is he didn't stay in the grave. The grave could not hold him. For the Bible teaches us that on the third day he rose from the dead. The joy he received from the cross of suffering was the redemption for mankind. In the book of Acts, believers witnessed his ascension. And scriptures show us that several believers saw him in visions and in dreams. He is this day, now listen to me, he is this day sitting at the Father's right hand, ever interceding for us. He is our lawyer. He is our comforter. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, who is gone into the heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He's there. He's never going to die again. And one day he's coming back for his church. Verse 3 of my text tells us why it is so important to focus on him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word consider means to compare, to reckon, to count up, to weigh it. Think about it. See what is taking place here. Consider him. Because we as believers are to focus upon Jesus Christ and his sufferings and compare and weigh them against our own sufferings. Now, I've had some hard times, and I got to be honest with you, most of my hard times in many, many cases were because of my own fault, my own poor choices, my poor opinions. But you know what? God loves us anyway. And sometimes they just come in because of other things, other individuals. But Christ is always the constant figure. He's the one that's there for us. He is the one that cares about us. He is the one that reaches out to us. You see, here are just a few things that Christ suffered in his earthly life, like many of us today. Listen to some of this. And I won't give you the references, but they're in the scriptures. Being born to an unwed mother. He was being born in a stable, the worst of conditions. Now, his mother eventually married Joseph, his earthly father. But at the time of his birth, she was unwed. Being born to poor parents. Being reared in a despicable place like Nazareth. Having no home. Not even a place to lay his head. Being betrayed by a close friend. I think we all can probably relate to that some way or another. Being left alone. Rejected and forsaken by all of his friends. Being tried before the high court of the land on the charge of treason. Being executed by crucifixion, the worst possible death of that day. When we see just some of the sufferings of Christ and realize that he endured them all, it helps us not to become weary. You see, but how you and I are going to get weary at times. Seems like as the picture shows on the screen to my right, it shows how that everything just bombards us at one time. So he lets us know that he cares for us. Matthew 11 and 28, I referred to it earlier. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Where are you at in your walk with God today? Where are you at in this race? Are you leading the pack? Are you in the middle? Maybe you're greatly known, or maybe you're like some of those unnamed people in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. But you see, God understands. The Bible tells us, precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints. We need to understand that he loves us. That as we walk with him and as we labor for him, are we going to have trials? Yes. In the world, ye shall have tribulations. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I don't know if you're a sports person or not. I am. I enjoy my sports. I occasionally watch the Olympics. Not a lot. Not as much as I would watch football or college basketball. Those are my two favorite sports, and yours may be something else. I love to try to play golf occasionally. I got to confess, I am lousy at the game of golf. People that play with me really get upset at me because I get tickled. I'm so sorry. I have to laugh. But I enjoy competition. And back in the 1992 Olympics, Derek Redmond, who was a sprinter or a racer at that time, is best remembered for his performance in the Barcelona Games of the Olympics in 1992. In that race, he tore his hamstring in the 400-meter semifinal, but he fought through the pain with assistance from his father. He managed to complete a full lap of the track as the crowd gave him a standing ovation. Did he come in first place? Did he win the gold medal? No, but he finished the race. And I want you to think today, and I encourage you, look this up, 1992 Barcelona Games, Derek Redmond, and watch the short video that you can find on YouTube. And watch this, and watch how that, as he stops and he's in pain, how that his earthly father comes out of the stands. They stop him, the guards do. He explains to them who he is, and they let him through. And he takes his son, puts his arm around his shoulder, and helps him finish the race. Now, earthly fathers love their children. How much more does our heavenly Father love us? Have you pulled a spiritual hamstring? Have you twisted your ankle? Have you stumbled? Have you fallen? Remember what the Bible tells us, believers. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, we which are spiritual, go restore such a one, considering our own selves, lest we also be tempted. You see, we're in the restoration business. We're trying to get people to heaven. We're not here to put people down for their faults. And yes, when we make mistakes, we have to pay the price sometime. But God loves us. And we can be restored by His love. You see, there are so many obstacles in our life that you and I have to face. But always remember, God is faithful. At the end of our life's journey, may we say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see, we got to remain strong in our relationship with Him. And if and you don't have to be strong like this person that has the gift of healing, another person may have the gift of discernment, but the fruits of the Spirit are in our life. And God is there to pick us up, to encourage us, to help us to walk in Him. You see, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. But he looked past this because he knew that he was about to die. He was going to Nero's chopping block. He was about to be beheaded for his faith in Jesus Christ. But he looked past it and he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at his appearing. And not only to me, not to me only, but into all of those that love his appearing. You see, it's not how we start the race, it's how we finish. Our faith must remain in him. You see, I am convinced that fighting a good fight doesn't mean that we do not get knocked down. I will occasionally watch some boxing, back when boxing, other than the real type of fighting that they're doing now in the rings. And I've watched many a fighter through the years. My dad loved to watch boxing when I was a kid, and so I started watching some of it with him. And I'd watch. Sometimes the fighter would get knocked down. Sometimes he would lose that bout, but he was in the ring the next time. Other times he got knocked down in that bout and he got up and still won the fight. You see, when we're down, we're not always out. So we're going to get knocked down sometime. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have to go to Him. But the Bible says, lay aside the weight and the sin, excuse me, which does so easily beset us. We know our shortcomings. We know our faults. How do we overcome them? How do we obtain victory? Study the Word. Stay on our knees and ask Him for strength and encouragement. You see, Paul said, the great apostle, who if any man in human form suffered, who was an actual human, not Christ, ever suffered like Christ, it was the apostle Paul. Beaten by stripes, shipwrecked, bit by a viper, should have died and didn't. But he said, I am the chief of sinners. You see, listen to me. If you're here in my voice and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, understand He died for you. He gave His life that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. We all fail at times. But we must get up and we must run and run toward the finish line. Then we sometimes have to weep like Peter. Remember Peter? He denied Jesus Christ, cursed and swore that he didn't know Him. Then the cock crew. And then Christ looked at him with His eyes, and Peter felt the conviction and remembered the words of Christ. Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept. If you're down, get up. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to strengthen you. Whatever you need from Him, because He is there. He's never going to go broke. His mercy endures to all generations. Remember, Christ is ever interceding to the Father for us. So what do? We must fight. We must keep the faith, and we need to finish the course, because one day you and I are going to draw our final breath and the death angel is going to take one more step. And I've always contended, if we miss heaven, we've missed everything. Let me pray with you. Father, we ask that you take the Word of God. We know that it does not return unto you void. Lord, I pray for that individual that is discouraged. Lord, that is struggling, that needs to be encouraged in you. May the Holy Spirit of God reach down from heaven and touch them this very instant. That individual that does not know you as their personal Savior, may they sense the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you is our prayer. Keep the faith, stay in the race, and finish the course.